Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.
Welcome to Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. I know you're used to hearing Starlin's beautiful voice, but today we've got a special guest speaker I wanted to introduce myself. His name is Sabet Kuj, and he's the pastor and founder of Indeed and Truth Ministries in South Sudan. Pastor Sabet is teaching from Acts 3, verses 1 through 10, on a message entitled, In the Name of Jesus. Now let's hear from Sabet.
And I would like to introduce my family to you. This is my lovely wife, Susie. And this is Hannah, and this is Jedediah, and this is Agum. Thank you. Well, we would love to take you with us to South Sudan, but that will be a little bit tricky. So here what we're going to do, we'll bring a little bit of South Sudan to you, and we would like to greet you or show you how we greet one another in South Sudan. And we're going to do in Dinka. And then afterward, I will translate. So here, how we do it in South Sudan. Tibak.
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 Ekedi.
Achinkra.
Inapol.
Anapol.
Tibak.
Tibak.
Ekedi.
Achinkra.
Mother.
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 Tibak.
Tibak.
Ekedi. Inapol.
Anapol.
Inechonga.
Anicho
Susie. Charlie Susie.
Aye.
Anicho Seven. Susie. Tibak. Tibak. Ekedi. Wanapol.
Wanapol.
Midapol.
Midapol.
Togapol. Wonderful. Tibak, 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 or Afol, Tibak, Afol the Ready. Mother, Afol the Ready. Thank you. Well, basically, the greeting is, how are you? How are you doing? I'm well. How are you? It goes back and forth. And then ask your name, and then you tell their name, and then you continue again. How are you? How are you? I'm good, and you're good. Your kids are good. Your cows are good. Or your goats are good. And it goes on. And this is, by the way, is the short version. In Africa, we take our time. As they say, there is no hurry in Africa. So imagine with me, you're stuck with me for the rest of the day. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Again, it's really our pleasure to be with you this morning. We started this ministry called Indeed and Truth Ministries about in 1999 when we started it. And 15 years, we're still doing that. And God has been so faithful. So I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to share with you what the Lord is doing there. Our ministry is based on one verse from 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, where Apostle John says, my little children, let's love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. What we do in South Sudan, we have a clinic and we have a Bible school for pastors. And we do other programs like CHE, Community Health Evangelism. I'll talk a little bit about that. And we do simply the story. Now, people there are all, they don't know how to read and write. And we use this Bible story. But so that you're familiar with what I'm talking about, there's a little video that will show first that will explain a lot of what I'm about to say.
Well, the culture here is based, especially with the Dinka, is based around cows, kettles. They mean so much to the culture. You get married with cows, you pay fine with cows, you live through the cows, you know. And it's their bank account, that's where all the money's kept. That's where the retirement is kept, and basically that's the life. Even names of people, the way they dance, everything is based around cows and cattle. Also, unfortunately, that's the source of every problem that they experience, and that makes sometimes life very difficult. Clashes between clans, you know.
In 1998, Sabet and Susie Kuch began their missionary work in Sudan in response to a devastating famine in Toj. Southern Sudan has been ravaged by 20 years of civil war that has resulted in some of the harshest living conditions in the world today.
The other thing also that's very difficult in the culture is superstition and witchcraft, beliefs.
The Kuj family is the only missionary within a 100-mile radius, and the commitment to the people of Tonj has resulted in a medical clinic and a discipleship training center for the bush pastors who share Christ's love by giving the hope of the gospel message to the Sudanese people.
It's a really great blessing for the area. We see about an average of 100 people a day, especially mothers, pregnant mothers and small children. Or infant.
One of the things that I love is that we've been able to give a safer environment for women to give birth in. Just being able to do simple things, like we have a lot of burns, then the retaliation problems of people fighting, spears, gunshot wounds, just knifing, and then accidents has been another thing.
The inspiration is a man, a pastor that was blind, but he memorized the entire New Testament in Dinka by heart. He was truly a man of God. Though he was blind, he was just going from village to village, evangelizing, opening new churches and bringing a lot of people to Christ. The other inspiration is that these pastors, they have anything from 100 to 400 or 500 people in their churches.
The reason I became pastor is because I wanted to serve God. And for me to serve God in the right way, I came to study the Bible, His Word, so that I will be able to preach the Bible in a good way, in a truthful way, because what I want to do, I want to be a missionary. I want to serve God.
We see, living in Sudan, we see UN and a lot of, you know, different NGOs and organizations coming and helping people, humanitarian aid, and that's not us. I'm here to give you the gospel. I'm here to give you a second chance at eternal life, the same way that I have been given it. That's why we're here.
Thank you. Well, my sharing this morning is based on this scripture. If you would like to open with me in the book of Acts and chapter 3 and from verse 1 to 10. This is a story. Probably most likely you're familiar with this story. A lame man that being healed. So there is a transformation that's happening here. And that's what I'm trying to say this morning with you about transformation, true transformation in the name of Jesus. And I will read in verse 1, Acts chapter 3, from verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you because your word is so true, Lord, that the only transformation that comes to us, Lord, is from you, Lord Jesus Christ. It's in you, and by your name. Bless us to speak to our heart. Encourage us, Lord. May we see you. That's including me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I stand before you today, and I believe, like 15 years ago, I never imagined to be a missionary to my own country. I was a refugee at the time in Kenya because of the long war that we had from like early 80s till 2005. So I was a refugee there trying to resettle to Australia, to a better place, peaceful, continue with my study. This group comes from California here, and there were Calvary Chapel, and they heard about the famine in South Sudan, so they came to help. Everybody's trying to leave, and my friend introduced me to them and said they need somebody to translate to them. I know the local dialect, the local tribal dialect, that where they were going there. So I flew with them, and one thing that I saw really changed my life. It's their witness and their love for people that they didn't know, people that they didn't speak their language, and it was a war zone, so it was very risky, and people were dying every day, so you were seeing very tough stuff. People were literally skin on bone. The picture that you saw, it was from that time in 1998. That was the famine. And just seeing God's love flowing and not allowing the differences to prevent that, that touched me. And I was about to leave, but about to go to this resettlement from Kenya, and I heard God was tucking my heart and say, "Sebit, I want to use you. If I'm using these guys, how about you? You know the language. You're from there, from this culture. You can bring the gospel message." So I decided to stay, and then helping in feeding centers and helping with Bible studies and seminars. A year later, Susie came, and I really encourage you to hear her testimony, talking of transformation. She was living here in San Diego. She was working with South Sudanese refugees at the time here, and she heard about this group and came with them. But how God would transform a lady's life from doing really bad things to, you know, to become a missionary. I encouraged her and I told her she need to write a book, and she should call it From Madam to a Missionary. You need to hear her story. If you have a Bible study, ask her to come. And just coming there and feeling that where God is calling her. And then we started this ministry. And God is so faithful. He is so faithful. It's very tough, even for my standard as a local, like working in South Sudan. If you hear news lately from December and January, the country is slipping back to a war zone. We got our peace in 2005, and that separated South Sudan from North Sudan. North Sudan was a Muslim, want to bring Islam by force to the south, and they were doing horrible stuff. That got brought to feast. And I believe it was the prayers of God people in this country forcing and bringing the attention to the American government, and then American government bringing the two countries together, and then they compromised, and then the peace came. But in January this year, in December, we went back to war again, and that's because of differences in the same government. You see, true transformation comes from Jesus. The government right now, it's called the party, it's called the SPLA, Sudan People Liberation Movement. A lot of government in Africa, that's their name actually. The North Sudan, their name is the National Salvation Front, something like that. In Angola, they have the MPLA, the same thing, liberation. They all come with promises and come with these liberation and salvation. But before their barely few years in the government, they become corrupt and become like everybody wants to get rid of them, the local people. And that's what's happening. The problem in January started as politically, and very quickly it became tribal. I have two big tribal, Dinka and Nuer. I'm from Dinka, which is the better tribe. No, I'm kidding. I am a Christian. I am a Christian, and I'm very saddened just to see people killing one another, literally. In this war, more than 10,000 in a period of 1 month that died, 10,000. More than 700,000 that were forced to flee. People there, they live very poorly, and right now, literally, they're living under trees, no shelter. And the UN is having a big headache how to solve this and help the people there. That brings me back to this scripture that I'm trying to share with you this morning. And there is a lot of everywhere you see in Africa, especially in my country, needs driving you to help in a material way. But does that really work? It does for some time. As you heard my wife earlier in the video, she's saying, we are not going to risk our life to put Band-Aid in people's wound. It has to be bigger than that. It has to be for their eternal salvation. That what will bring peace. When I came to the Lord, it was in the youth camp. And one thing in my heart, and I came to the Lord because of Islam. My friend was trying to reach me to becoming a Muslim. He's telling me Islam, it was the last religion, and I'm going to die, I'm going to hell. So I was really afraid, and I found myself one night saying, God, it's not fair to live this life with all this poverty. Like, you don't know how to eat, you're not really doing good in school, you live in this makeshift homes, and then you die and you go to hell. So if you live, God, show yourself to me. I stand to you today before you as a witness. God heard my prayer. In a month time, this pastor sharing with me about the gospel message for the first time to hear that Jesus died for me in a very special way. If I was the only man alive, he would have still come and died for me. And I accepted Jesus with him that day. I've been raised in a Catholic church. I never heard that message before. And I tell you, my life changed. My life changed. And I just, when I left that conference, new person. I had a Bible in Arabic somewhere hidden full of dust. And I opened it and I start reading with a new hunger I never experienced before. And that's really changed my life. Start seeing that there is hope. Even if I die at that time, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to a better place. So that's what really need to be done, is the message of the gospel in the name of Jesus, that what make differences. God has been so faithful through the difficulties, through the challenges we have in the mission work. And I love that. I love that God called me and my family. We had all our three children there. and you have to figure education. We do homeschool, and those, like how to raise them in a very tough environment, you know, and also care for their future. And I love that because God is so faithful. So the homeschool that we do is really good. My wife does that. I was first very against it because I'm like, we need to send them to school. I'm afraid that they wouldn't know how to read and write, but God was so faithful. And he is true to his promises that he will be with us, you know, till the end of the ages. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. In the ministry itself, it's really hard. Hard ground. The biggest obstacle to the gospel message is the culture, is the tradition. And I know that is true for about every country and every culture. Even here, the culture become a source of fear. People don't want to come to the gospel because what about my ancestors? They worship idols. The introduction that we did here, that you greet people. When you greet people, you tell them also about the idol that you worship. My clan worship grass. Some other clan would be some sort of animal or tree. And everybody does that. So when Jesus come and you come to a God, Jesus, that will change your life and identify with that, that's very big, big, huge a step. You find all the family and the tribe against you. So many people. There's this young woman, not young woman, a woman that we baptized her recently, sometimes last year, and she had to go against her family. They are very afraid. We've been giving sacrifice to animals. They may retaliate. They may bring disaster, disease, and kill you because they're not happy. And people believe in that till today. But God is so faithful. In the 14 years, we've seen God raising up godly people. When I started this, this was my first prayer request. I want to see people who loves the Lord, whose their identity is with Christ, that they know that there's nothing in this world would matter again. It's just being with Jesus and spreading that good gospel that changed people from inside and out. And God did that. I have, from our Bible school, we have seven pastors that over planted seven churches, very simple, under trees. In South Sudan, it's very hot. You want to be outside at all time. You don't want to be inside anything. People actually cook outside, sleep outside, everything. When I come here and I come to building like this, there's nothing happening outside. So I wonder, when you come in, everything is happening inside. People are inside, everything, but outside, nothing. But in South Sudan, it's a bit different. God is so faithful that we have these churches under trees teaching the God of Word, have these pastors that are taking the Jesus from village to village. Till today, there's people, and I know Africa, the villages that where we are in the middle of bush, how can they hear the gospel? But it's still shocking that small village close to us in Tonj still didn't hear who Jesus is. They don't know. They don't know. And then when the Jesus form goes there, and for the first time, people believe in stories. People believe in seeing something before them. That's how they come to the Lord. And the scripture is so true. How can they believe unless they hear? And when they see the Jesus film and see the things that Jesus did, healing people and preaching the good news, you see that so many people in the village come to the Lord and accept the Lord. Just God raising these people, and I don't have to do it by myself. John 10:10, it tells us that Jesus came so that he can give us abundant life. And it starts here. It's not there. Start here. God's kingdom, when you come into it, you are transformed holistically, not spiritually, not just you have everlasting life, but even physically, socially, you know, everything about you will change. And that's why I bring this in. And that's why I feel God's put this calling in our heart. He wants us to be there in South Sudan so that we, our ministry is a holistically approach. He said this is scripture. But if I cast out, this is Jesus speaking, demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come among you. You see a change. It's one program that we do, I told you about. It's called CHE, Community Health Evangelism. And it's about sharing the gospel. It's about discipleship, but also about having healthy homes. The sickness and the disease that we see and we experience today in Africa are due to simple things that in their habit, in our habit, in our culture, if they forsake them, it will really change their life. So it's not just the gospel, it's just bringing this new technique that teaches them small hygiene and that will improve their life. In our clinic, we have a small lab and we see about 100 a day, but we see the same people with the same problem more than 3 times in a month. So the problem is not the medicine that's given to them, that it doesn't work. It actually works very fine because they will be well and then they will get sick again. It's their habit that need to be changed, need to be transformed. So Chase will go to their home and in a very loving way, and like I see this very important, you do it in a very loving way and you involve them. They become part of providing that solution in a group setting that it's not teaching, but it's a contributing. And then you introduce like mosquito nets, treated mosquito nets that will really bring the malaria down. You will introduce something like tippy tap, these gallons of water that when you tip them, you can wash your hands. And then you introduce something like pit latrine. And then there's these items that we try in every house. And not just that, but even their social. African as a culture, obviously, you hear this. Like the way we're raised, everything is done by violence. You solve it by, I was raised, me and my older brother, if we're indifferent, my parents will say, okay, you go fight. Who wins, you listen to him. So you go out and then you wrestle, and obviously I lose all the time because my brother is bigger. And that's how. Even the like wives and husband, it comes to that sometimes physical. You know, so Che will bring these Bible studies about how God created us on his image, both male and female. And then we see God's working. That will sink in people's heart and see they start seeing their spouses in a different light, in a different light. They were created in God's image, and we need to deal with them in a much better way than the culture teaches. Need to go back to the scripture. So this is story. John and Peter coming to a temple, and this man who's lame, he was born that way. So he never walked in his own life. And then you see that he was begging for money, and that's more than being lame. Today you see people who are disabled, but they are pride, they're with dignity. And sometimes you don't really, when you come close to them and fellowship with them, you don't see that disability in the way they portrayed themselves. This guy, probably he was beaten down. When you get to a level that you're begging, that would rob you your dignity. So he was probably hurt. It was more than disability with him. And being in front of the temple, never able to walk in with everybody and go before a God that who can hear you. How would be that very discouraging? Doing it for yourself, you know, and you see all these people, you see life going before you. Peter comes to him. And Peter, obviously, you go to church to pray, right? You go to church to commune with God. And God has a plan. And Peter was very sensitive what God was doing around him. And from look at this guy, and he tell him, look at us. And I believe that was intentionally from Peter, telling him, money, silver or gold, that's not going to solve your problem. Now, me and you, when things comes to our life, what comes first in our mind, whether it's a need, whether it's a problem that comes before you, are we like Peter saying, it's not about money? What God wants us to do here? What is he trying to say? So he said intentional. The scripture before this, at the end of chapter 2, the church was thriving. They were selling their homes. They were selling their property and position and bringing it under the feet of the apostles. And everybody who believed was sharing together. So Peter has the choice to tell, I know a place. Come with me where money is not going to be an issue. And share with the disciples, right? Share with the believers. That would have solved the problem. But he didn't do that. He specifically said, I have something better. I have Jesus. Isn't that the truth with all of us? If you are here and you've been here in this church and you have Jesus in your heart, you have something very powerful, very valuable that can bring true transformation. And that's what happened here. Peter says intentionally, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but that was a very difficult choice for me. Because how do you know it's going to work? How do you know, Peter? As I said, he was very in tune with the Holy Spirit. His relationship with the Lord Jesus made him, give him that sense that God is doing something here. But also his intentionality of saying, Jesus, that's what you need. That's what will bring true transformation. What we do also in the clinic, just let me go back again to what we do. We do this medical clinic doing cataract surgery. People there, when you hit the 50s, you're considered old. Sometimes I forget, and when I'm here, I'll say, oh, he's 55, oh, he's old. And I get into trouble because here people live 80. I know some people 90, over 90. No, not in South Sudan. So at that age, your eyes start getting cloudy, the lenses, the natural lenses, and you don't see, especially at night, you completely lose. My mom was like that. She was losing sight at night. So these doctors, missionary doctors, would come in November usually. And then a lot of people would come. The first day, always like 500, 600 people waiting for registration and screening. And while they're waiting, we have our pastors sharing the stories from Bible. And there's this uncle of a colleague of mine in the compound there. His name is Andros. He come and he start listening. And I believe the story was about the Bartimaeus, the blind man, Jesus walking by. And he was really listening intentionally. And these stories, when they're told in a way that you had to live the story. Kind of like inductive Bible study method, but you do it orally. So you ask questions like, who's in the story? How did they feel? How's the situation is? What are the options and the choices that they could have taken? So he lived, and when this part of the story where this blind man, he calling Jesus, and other people saying, no, be quiet, be quiet. And then this man, he's like, it's like, yeah, if I was him, I will do the same. I will cry out very loud. And then the story goes, and then he really interacted with the story. And then he sit and think about it, and he's like, these people are really must be from God. Because it's not just about coming and receiving the surgery and receiving new lenses, but it's about, you know, hearing God's voice and God's message to us. This is the true God. We've been going to the witch doctors, taking our goats, our cows, and nothing happens. They're all lying. 99%, nothing happens. But he, it's true. So he gets the surgery, and he starts seeing, and he's like, I'm going to tell my family, my whole family, to believe in this Jesus because he is real. He gives sight, but a message, a food for my soul. And the next day, he brings some of his family, praising God and believing in this new message. Rebecca, she worked with us in the clinic, and she came to know the Lord while working with us. And one day she came to us and told us that her father is giving her into marriage, arranged marriage, to this man who has already two wives. And it was really hard. We did everything that we can. We thought of a plan to make her escape from the village, but that wouldn't have been right. I tried to talk with the family and tell them we need to put her in school. We need to put hold into the marriage. It didn't work out. And then she goes and pray when there's no way out. And she comes and say, Sabit, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to do this just in obedience and honoring my parents, not because of me, because my faith now doesn't allow me to do that. But I'm going to do it in honoring for my faith. Maybe that will touch my parents and bring them to the Lord. And I was so touched by what she said, because that's being mature. I'm putting yourself in a very tough situation like that with a man who has two and doing it in the name of Jesus. That's, to me, it's a true transformation, the way that she was thinking, from the way that she was thinking before. And that's what happened to her. She had to be married to this man with two wives. And it is tough, but God is coming through to her. And she's being a witness, and God is using her. And I say this, it's just because how the culture, and it's so difficult sometimes to be a Christian in there, in that community. If, I don't know if you follow these magazine, Time and The Economist, there's another side of Africa that we don't see. And I say this just in the light of solving things with material. Africa is rising. It's been growing economically 6% every year. They reckon if it keep doing that, it will overpass some of the Asian country. There is about 600 million cell phone in Africa, more than here. It works out about like 3 per person. Very advanced, you know? Very, very, very advanced, more than here, because we don't have infrastructure. So people use cellular phone, more than Europe as well. So that God is really blessing them. But is that really changing and bringing transformation to the continent? Let me ask you, if you see this picture, where would you think this is? Somebody told me Long Beach. I've never been to Long Beach. It could be. You know, it could be anywhere here in the U.S., right? You will be surprised if I tell you this is Angola. This is Angola. They have booming in the economy there. They have oil that they're exporting. South Sudan is the same, have oil. And a lot of money is coming, but also there's a lot of corruption. There's people, like in the low level, they don't see this. 5 miles away from this place, this is the reality. Only 5 miles away, you know. And you know, that brings me the true transformation. It will come in the name of Jesus. Because Africa, God is so faithful, Africa will rise. And it will do really good economically wise. Rich people, the middle class is growing. But if there is no Jesus, no transformation. These people, like this in South Sudan, in Tonj, are helped more by Christian, by churches, more than most likely they will never see the development that they should see from the government. It's faithful people, godly people that love the Lord, that would bring change and true transformation because they're doing it in the name of Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, ask yourself, me and you, what do we do with that valuable name, the name of Jesus Christ? As a missionaries, when we come here, sometimes we're really very focused. Yes, we wanted to share about what God is doing in his kingdom, but we're more concerned about how much money we're going to raise. Are we going to meet our budget? And when we come here, we're hounding people, support us, support us. And we miss it totally. It's not about that. It's about giving and sharing in the name of Jesus. That name that would bring transformation, true transformation. So I ask you the same thing. What do you do with that name? Me and you, we're so blessed. You are so blessed, not just materially, but sitting under the teaching of these godly pastors, bringing the word of God, bringing that truth to you, you can put that. As I said earlier, my wife came, and she come from a really like tough background, and she come and she lived, she says, in Tonj, very different from here or from San Diego, and that touch people. That's what bring people to know God, is what God is doing in you, the relationship that between you and the Lord, between you and the people, that what change you. As I said, I stand before you because of what God has done through these missionaries. And they were just there for 2 weeks, you know. But what God has done through them changed my entire life. 15 years, I still do the same thing that I started in 15 years. These are the cataract surgery that they do. This is waiting a day after to be removed. And then we have leprosy. Bible, obviously, you know that Bible disease is still. We have 2 villages actually near us with people who had leprosy. And this lady, she was so excited because she can see again. She was like, I can see you. Not just you, but I can see the gap between your teeth. And she was singing and I'm praising God just for the new transformation. And so many people, they were really astonished. You know how you hear only people in the radio? When I'm here, I hear Pastor Bill on the radio, and I will have a certain image how he should look like. And when you see him in reality, it's totally different sometimes. So a lot of people like that, they are like in shock. Oh, this is not what I imagined the town would look like or the people that have been talking to you. Now, let's go to scripture again. This, in the story, Peter, he didn't know that God is going to use him in that way and bring this guy to walk again. When they enter into the temple, there was a praising, there was a worship, people were like very happy, very glad for what they have seen. And that's what true transformation does. Transformation not just affects you, but will affect everybody around you. And it will be so evident. It's a God thing, as we say. It is a God thing. That's not done by man hand, and indeed God lives. That's what we need to be as a Christian, that God would do his transformation work in us every day when we give. And the church here has been so generous, so generous. They give all the time, all the time. But I pray that we give in the name of Jesus. When you give in the name of Jesus, knowing it's not about the money, about the name and the power that going behind that money. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus put it, he said, when you give a cup of cold water in my name, it's different. Very, it makes difference in people's life, in communities, in countries, and in nation. As I started, I stand before you, and I know God has me to do this because the country is slipping back into a war. And your prayers are very, very important. They work once. And the enemy is working. He wants to come to kill and destroy. And praying again for South Sudan, that God will take that tribalism and bring a true relationship with Jesus, that people would identify with what the Lord has done for us. And they would deal on that basis. That tribal in South Sudan actually is being exported up to here. We have in America, we have South Sudanese refugees that are from both tribe, Dinka and Nuer, and it's so sad to see that it's dividing them, and they are not talking, and even here they need reconciliation. So that's the first thing that I want you to leave with you, praying. Praying for God's work through Che. Instead of giving fish, make people to be fishers. God is so faithful. He provided all what we need. whether it's in Africa or here, he provides every day. He does that. So people would see the resources that they have and use that resources to change their life. We don't need hammers in Juba to change our life, and they're there with government people. We need just simple truth and simple things that will change people's lives. So pray for Che Work, that God would give us this favor in villages. We've been training for the last 3 years, training trainers, and they go into village, set up Che's. They would go to people's homes and villages and communities, and not just that, even government offices doing Che Work that would bring true transformation. So pray for that. Thank you so much for having me, sharing with you. Let's pray together.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.